All right. Brew some coffee, pour a cup. It's time for some more coffee talk.
It's Bashomania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashomania runs wild on you? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's pandemonium outside. And my Instagram's blown up because people are like, dude, you need to vlog what's going on at your house. I'm like, dude, I don't have time. I want to.
My mic stand's falling over here. It's just all the dirt.
Yeah, it's nuts. So we have a couple things to cover quickly before AJ comes on. First is that we have a new sponsor. We have like three new sponsors. And we think they're all going to be like monster fits. This one, we're only going to tell you a little bit about our main one. It's called Attack. They've been sponsoring the podcast for a couple months, actually, because I'm involved with them doing some marketing consulting. And in a nutshell, Attack is a sophisticated training app for wrestlers and other high-level athletes. And it's unlike anything I've ever seen. And I'm not just saying that or reading an ad. Like, it's really cool. It's both an app with a game aspect to it where you score points based on your workouts. You have leaderboards to compete. And you can see, like, who's working the hardest. Like, everybody says, I'm the hardest worker in the room. I'm this, I'm that. This is legit. Like, you can compete and do things.
How does it track you? Or do you just, like, on a system?
You get points for workouts. So you do – I mean, in theory, you could lie.
Do I need to wear my Apple Watch? Because that's kind of what stops wrestlers from doing workouts.
Yeah, and this it's going to be interesting. It rolls out soon. We're actually testing it out. I'm going to get you access. I'm going to get me access. We're going to start the marketing, the commercial. I don't want to spoil a couple of the athletes that are involved, but it's the best of the best. I want them to announce their involvement. But there's a website, attack.app, to sign up for. It's not launching for a few weeks. We're going to have the CEO on the podcast when they come on. But follow Attack on social media. Go to attack.app and sign up for updates. It's going to be cool. It's going to be game-changing. Chenzo may be involved with it, with an aspect that's going to be cool. So it's going to be super cool. That's why I'm wearing the Attack blue shirt.
I love it.
I love Attack, and I'm super, super excited for them coming on board. I can't wait. And Virginia's for lovers.
This is my shirt for the day.
That's your shirt for the day.
So shout out all the Virginians.
I had Bill's Mafia on over this, but I want this on the whole podcast. So
I think that's my favorite shirt of yours.
I love it. This was actually their idea. They wanted to make like a couple dozen shirts for their team, and I'm like, this is sick. I'm keeping a bunch. So I love it. Coffee Talk. I cannot wait to have a guy named Brian Heller will come on. Yeah, if you got a mug, you've already seen the Attack logo. Like, you've seen it. And you're going to hear more and more about it over the next month, especially when Brian Heller comes on.
And if you don't have a mug, what are you doing at this point?
Yeah, go to bashmania.com. Even if it's just for your desk, for your office, support the show. Subscribe on YouTube. Buy a mug, buy a t-shirt. Also, real quick, last thing, and then we're definitely getting into it. It's camp and clinic season. And we've been talking about doing a couple different things. This summer is going to be really fun. But we launched like a quick landing page at chenzojoseph.com because I was actually talking to a guy last night who we'll talk after this who wants to bring you to a school. And ChenzoJoseph.com.
We gotta make sure we word that correctly. But go ahead.
Yeah, do a camp or a clinic. do a camp here, which it's actually in Rochester, and it's nice. One of my clients. I'd be sick because I told him it. There's a travel discount because I'm like right. he can stay at the crib. Yeah. So that reminded me that if you want, I've never been to a Chenzo camp, but I gotta believe it's one of the best around.
I've had good reviews, man.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've been a fan ever since you put the inside trip photo where you didn't get the inside trip, where you were getting inside trip.
See, that was good content right there.
That was fantastic. And that was great execution of content.
Yeah.
Like that was like the picture in itself with the completely different caption. doesn't work. You nailed it with the caption. So
I appreciate that. I thought I nailed it too.
So. Yeah. So if you want Camper Clinics with Chenzo,
just DM me or something.
Yeah, DM me. Or go to ChenzoJoseph.com, fill out the form if you want to sponsor him, if you want a Camper Clinic. So, okay, that's that. We got to get into this stuff because AJ's coming on in a few minutes. And there's a lot of different stuff going on right now. I just got a text from somebody I can't say on the air, but they're asking for Gabe Dean's cell phone. I've heard he's on the move.
I heard that also, but I don't know.
I saw Max Dean is in the portal. And then I saw Gabe put out a tweet yesterday about, hey, just so you guys know, more information's coming out about this. So I have no clue if he's leaving or what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did see them at, you know, the last chance in the Olympic trials and couldn't tell anything was going, you know, going on or anything was off at that point. So I'm just as curious as everyone else.
So. Yeah. And I wanted to talk Olympic trials, to be honest, though, like, I don't know that there's even room for it anymore. There's so much going on. And I feel like we kind of like everybody jumped on it.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, you probably watched the Olympic trials. So,
yeah, and it's fun to talk about, but like it was so much more fun to have J.O. on the show.
Right.
AJ today, surprise guest, might be joining.
We'll see, hopefully.
In about 30, 35 minutes. Another thing that I don't even know if you saw, I just saw it. Austin Gomez is back.
I did see that too. That's crazy.
So I texted him because Bashmania listeners know he came on here to talk about his retirement, and even as recent as last week, somebody had tweeted out, like, when James Green did the joke about,
I didn't like that joke either, but
I didn't like the joke when he did the joke, like, I'm out of the trials because of this, because I got a concussion. Austin's like, that's no laughing matter. So today,
I think that happened to James Green before.
With Nick Maribel something in 2015.
Okay,
I forgot the whole story, but there was.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But either way.
So, I was texting with him, and I said, "What happened?" I'm like, "You might have to come back on the show now."
Oh yeah.
And he said, "It's definitely something to talk about." He's already had wrestling media reach out, so we'll see how many things he does. I don't want to water anything down, but. He said the main reason was because he knows there's a safe and smart way to train around the injury instead of going hard every day in the room. So that's interesting. I definitely want to talk to him about it, and I want to give him the platform to talk about it.
Yeah, and I hope he protects his noggin a little bit, man.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, if he goes on. I'm not looking, and I know you're not looking, to just, like, one-up other people in wrestling. Nah. Like, if he gets his story out there, that's fine. If we can't add value or entertainment, we don't need to have somebody on. So if he needs a platform, I've already told him the door is open, open invite to come back on the podcast. If he goes on Flow or goes on whatever and gets a story out there, that may be sufficient. We did have a wrestler reach out yesterday, and I don't know if I want to give his name out yet.
No, we'll keep that one private.
Yeah, somebody else who reached out wants to share some stuff. So that's probably going to be Monday. We got a lot of different episodes.
I know. We have a lot of guests, so I'm looking forward to also. I'm getting excited, man.
Yeah, and the fact that more and more sponsors are piling on now, like, we're going to start, like, releasing these shortly. And if you're a company, if you own a company and you have an advertising budget, you should be contacting us to try to spend your money with us.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, what else would you want to spend your money on?
Yeah, and this isn't, like, I feel like let's, I'm making a lot of, like, asks so far in the podcast, but I never say any of these things and I think about them later, but it's true. I had a guy reach out who owns a small business, but it's national, and I'm like, dude, you could potentially be on the podcast. Like, this podcast gets a lot of listeners from across the country, so if you have a product, you can market online or... What is... AJ just asked when the Zoom call. Yeah, I hope I said. I'm ready now. Perfect. Let's get AJ in here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this one too. I want to see you guys have a little flex off.
You know, I think what we're gonna do.
Are you warmed up?
No, I'm so out of shape. I got out of the shower and I took a look at myself and realized I should be the judge, not a participant.
No, no, but see, like,
but
if you participate, that makes it way better.
If I take my shirt off, we will lose viewers. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking instead of me doing the flex off, I bring someone in.
On your behalf.
On my behalf. All right. And they have a flex off. And we you're in shape. You can participate. You have the option to participate or
I'll tell you
judge.
What, I was in better shape a week ago. It comes and goes pretty quick.
You looked lean, dude. You looked good.
Hey, I appreciate that.
That's the one thing I hate about watching wrestling events. Is everybody's in such good shape. And I'm just sitting there like eating pizza, shoveling it down my throat. And I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah, drinking a beer, eating pizza. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a beer guy. I've had like one beer my whole life, I'm a wine guy.
Sorry, a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Sorry, a glass of wine with your pizza.
Yeah, yeah, big wine guy. I'm, yeah. So I'm excited for this one. I'm excited for the couple of guests that are lined up for next week. And by the way, other wrestlers, I loved who reached out yesterday saying that they wanted to come on the show. And I know a lot of high-level wrestlers listening to this. If you want to come on and share news, share your story, like DM us. We can't get to everybody, but if there's room and there's time, we're definitely always looking for great guests.
Yeah, man. And it's, you know, we have our reoccurring people and everything too, but
yeah,
like we like to branch off and have not just NOWC guys all the time as well.
Right. Some of our best episodes, I think, are non-NOWC guys.
Oh yeah. And that episode with J.O. was awesome, too. That just kind of goes to show.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to have J.O. just go. No time constraint, just go.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. Looks like we got our guest. Let's get him in the room. Let's get him on the podcast.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Speaking of good shape.
What's up, Beast?
I was just telling Chenzo, the one thing I hate about watching wrestling is I watch you guys, and like I was in good shape from about 2005 to 2018.
Right.
And now, building a house.
That long. That's
yes.
That's a long time to be in shape.
So I never worked out when I wrestled. 6 years I wrestled, junior high and high school. I never worked out. Probably maybe why I wasn't that good of a wrestler. Then I graduated. I think I went through a breakup and naturally started working out. And I didn't stop. But now, doing this podcast, running the marketing company, building a house, I need to get back and I need like a trainer. Like I need someone to... AJ, do you have a trainer?
Well, for me, it's mainly just my dad and me, but that's my major too, applied exercise science. So I am like so passionate about this stuff. Like I love it.
Do you think you could put Justin through like a small workout right now?
I mean, I probably could online, but like nobody would want to see that.
Yeah,
I mean, nope. In high school, I sold workout plans and like diet plans for like $200 each. I sold like 10 of them, made over
what
2 G's.
What a hustler.
Damn. Yeah. Look,
I love that.
That's a G move yeah. right there. Just to like your friends and stuff? Like,
just to like people on Instagram would hit me up and be like, yo, like okay. I want to get in shape. I want to get like your legs. I'll be like, yeah, bro. I actually like do specific workouts, which I send them the same workouts I do. Like,
Did you say it's not quite possible to get my legs, but you can get kind of close with these workouts?
I mean, I explained to him, like, people think that, like, I mean, obviously, I have really good genetics. Me and you both, you know, we're just freaking Italian beasts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's why we're performers on the mat, bro. It's why, you know, 4-10 NCAA finalists, true freshman NCAA champ, bro. They just can't stop all the Italian DNA. You know, it runs in the veins. But a long story short, though, just to get back to seriousness. No, they can't. But just to get back to seriousness, though, bro, like, people don't understand, I don't think, the progress it takes. Like, they just want to see the results. They just see me and they're like, oh, this dude's a beast. They don't see me 12 to 18 years old, literally 2 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week. I am lifting like heavy ass weights to get to where I am.
Yeah.
Like, genetics definitely plays a role and it helps. But for sure, the consistency over time is what I tell people is huge.
Yeah, man, you put in those hours. That's you get good results from that.
100%.
So were you into wrestling first and then you thought to work out to get better at wrestling, or what was the path?
My dad originally put me in actually jiu-jitsu whenever I was 4 years old.
Oh, cool.
So I was in jiu-jitsu and then he put us in that for like self-defense. And then we transferred to wrestling and we just stuck with it. You know, it was great. 'Cause like, we loved how, like, as a kid, you know, there's not really much technique. You just wrestle, you know, you have fun out there. And I just fell in love with it. And my dad and me, we just had a great bond over years, just drilling. And just my dad fell in love with the grind, really, to be honest. He fell in love with me, you know, putting in the extra work, you know, drilling single legs thousands of times. And we traveled the country. My dad and my mom, my parents made a lot of sacrifices for me to get to where I am. And I'm just so thankful for them. I mean, I know Vincenzo's the same way with his dad's mom. They've made a lot of sacrifices for him too. I know Absolutely. That he loved them a lot too. So we wouldn't be anywhere without them. And like, obviously now it's to the point where everything's on me. You know, my dad's left the wrestling room. And now Coach Smith is the dude that, and Chris Perry, the guys that like take that place for me. But for me, you know, the biggest thing that's going to separate, you know, guys like me and Vincenzo from our competition is just our ability to focus on mental toughness. And whenever the mental toughness comes, like whenever we have to pull it out to just do it, you know, and my dad always tells me that. He's like, you know, we're like third generation Italian Americans. And like, we swear by that. Like every generation, you know, set up, like my grandfather had to leave the house at 12. So like, he's like, every generation works hard so the next generation can be better than the last one. He's like, remember that. Remember all the sacrifices that all your, you know, family members, everybody's made around you. And I remember that. And God rewards me for the hard work I put in and for being faithful to him, you know.
Do you think that that mental toughness, I know you've had some injuries. I know right now your knee's a bit banged up. I think back in high school, you had like an ankle injury or something. And injuries can sometimes derail people. And all of a sudden they're like, they're not the same after. What was your thought process back then when you had an injury compared to now?
I mean, yeah, dude, I'm just going to be honest. Injuries, they suck, dude. I mean, that's the worst. Like whenever I got injured to my shoulder, I was at rock bottom. Like it's rough. It's a hard time, especially when you first get that news. Like, for instance, with my knee, like I know something's torn. Like we don't know 100% yet. I'm not re-releasing that. I don't want people to know, but like, I know my knee's pretty banged up. Yeah. So like for me, like all my injuries I've had, it's always been like really like, and sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's like, oh wait, God put me in check. Like after when NCAAs, you know, me getting injured a little bit trials, like, you know, my dad was like, you know, maybe God wanted to put you in check. And remember, you know, you're not here to wrestle on earth. You're here to, you know, praise God and give glory to him, you know? And so I remember that. My dad sent me a video, like a motivational video, just to keep me on track. So I remember that. And like, for me, the biggest thing that keeps me strong throughout like having to suffer like 6 months, if I would turn the LCL, like a couple months if I was meniscus, or like, let's say 8 months whenever I tore my shoulder, like the way that I persevered through that is for me was thinking about the sacrifice, you know, that Jesus made. You know, I could suffer for 6 months and be able to live. Like, I'm like, you know, Jesus, he had to make the ultimate sacrifice, you know? So for me, like, I think of that and think about all the sacrifices that my parents have made in a similar way, obviously not that manner, but to get me to where I am, you know, I'm serving Chenzo's the same way, you know, with his parents. I know his dad and mom done a lot to get him to where he is in wrestling, and like, he would do anything for them. And that's the same way I am. So I'm like, man, I could suck it up for 6 months and push through this injury and come back stronger than ever and just grow in my faith, take this time to grow in my faith and grow in who I am as a person.
Dude, I'm about to call my mom after this. Yeah, that's awesome though. I mean, you're absolutely right though. You gotta always have to, you know, be thankful and trust your support system and everything, man. That's all good stuff. Can you just talk about briefly just what it's like at Oklahoma State, kind of just what separates that from other programs?
Yeah, well, for me, I know, you know, obviously it was between Penn State, Oklahoma State, Rutgers, Nebraska, all those top schools, man. And the biggest thing for me that really separated, because like Penn State, you look at the upper weights, they even had more upper weights, you know, NCAA champs in the last 5 years. What separated the school for me, Oklahoma State, was that I grew up, you know, with Chris Perry and John Smith. And like to them, they were like second dads or like uncle to me, you know. Like I looked up to them not only to who they are like as wrestlers, but as person, you know. Like Coach John Smith, my head coach, I don't know if you guys know this, but he's in the Italian American Wrestling Hall of Fame and the Italian American Hall of Fame in general. So for me, that's like a goal myself would be like, man, that'd be awesome being an Italian American Hall of Fame. You know, someone who grew up with the same background as me, you know, he put God, family, wrestling as his motto. And that's the same way I grew up. You know, now I still have that same motto. My parents live really 10 minutes away from me. I go home and get spaghetti meatballs anytime I want. So Vincenzo's the same way, but he's at Penn State. But like, we're just old school Italian guys that work hard, you know. So,
yeah, man.
So yeah, that work ethic, you know, comes from generations of Italians. You know, people always, they don't understand, you know, how the mafia got started. The mafia actually got started originally in Italy because a bunch of like illegal immigrants and immigrants were trying to take over, and like they were trying to basically settle down and keep their own people, and then it got out of control. But Italians, Americans are some of the hardest working people I think you guys would meet. I mean, there's quite a bit in the wrestling community, especially. Like I've told people this. Like there's a lot of Italian Americans. If you look at coaches, wrestlers, like, and we just come from that hard knit, like hardcore, like tough upbringing with our parents, and we're just tough because of it. And like, it's just in our DNA, I guess.
We're just gritty, man.
We're just gritty.
I'm curious, AJ, you're exploding on the scene from a fandom standpoint. You've obviously been around, you've had success. Your success is not new to you, but even us, we were discussing you after the Big 12s. I tuned in for the Big 12s for like the first time ever this year. And you were part of that. And as I'm watching you, I'm like, man, this is new. Like, he's hyping up the crowd mid match. And I'm like, this is such like a, I don't want to say it's a ballsy play, but I'm like, this is new. And if this,
I loved it, by the way.
Yeah, it was great, and the sport needs it. And I said, if he wins, this is absolutely legendary. If he doesn't, the crowd's going to jump on him, shut up and wrestle.
Well,
all that.
I don't know if you guys saw before my finals match, NCAA's, my post on Instagram. I called out Ben Askren and said I was just hanging out with Jorge Masvidal. I basically said F you to Ben Askren on Instagram and tagged him. And I put some curse words in my Instagram post. And that was hours before wrestling. That was 3 hours before wrestling the NCAA championship finals. Like, tell me that's not more pressure. Like, if I lose that match, I'm going to get an insane amount of backlash. Mm-hmm. But like, for me, it's like, I've been putting pressure on myself since I was a kid. And like, it's just my personality. Like, people think that I'm like all hype. Like, I don't know the difference. Like, people don't understand. Like, I don't know how Gabe was if he just does it for fun. But like, my life is like the way that you guys see on Instagram. Like,
I was going to ask that. That was my next question. How much
like,
of this?
Like, literally, if you meet me and you would hang out with me for the day, bro, like, that's literally my personality. Like,
no,
I just don't.
I can tell.
I saw you proud yesterday.
You're authentic, bro. Yeah.
I saw you. What I think was you in a crowd at Oklahoma State yesterday. Flex in a big group, and I was wondering, like, how much of this is like you turning on a character, and how much of this is just this is me? You're just seeing it more because
it's just me, man. I've always loved to be like a spotlight since I was a kid. Like, I always felt like I was a performer. Like, I felt like God made. Like, people don't understand this too is a big thing. Like, I walk around. I'm 6 foot. I walk around like 220, 225, like 225 pounds, 8 to 10% body fat. Like, everybody's like, why don't you play football?
I need a diet plan.
I run a 4.640 at that weight. I run a 4.640 at 220 and don't even do any explosive skills as in horizontal power. I focus more on vertical for wrestling. So like, basically, like, if you guys understand, like, for me, it's like I have a passion, and I'm sure Vincenzo's the same way because he's athletic too. I'm sure he could do different things, but
I feel left out, but that's okay.
But, I mean, maybe
we'll work on it.
We'll get him some injections of Italian DNA and then he can transfer over to the portal.
Yeah, we can get him right. We'll just put him on the spaghetti diet. It'll doze you up a little bit first, but then it's all lean muscle.
That's pretty much it.
So then it's interesting because, and I saw somebody tweet about it yesterday, and we've talked about it in this podcast before, but wrestling, especially from college to senior level, where college, and this year is a little bit different because normally NCAAs is like 18,000-20,000 people, and then like Chenzo's in the NCAA finals in front of 20,000 people. A few months later, he's in the back gym of the New York Athletic Club for a tournament to qualify for the Olympic trials. Like, the attention is crazy. Given that you do love the spotlight, how do you balance those highs and lows, whether it's injuries, whether it's you? Like, this last month, somebody tweeted it yesterday, nobody's had a better month than AJ Ferrari. Like, how do you balance those highs and lows of, like, being in the spotlight? And now, whether it's, you know, wrestling season winding down plus an injury, like, how do you balance that?
I just think my parents kind of helped me do that. I think, you know, I mean, everybody like asked after I went NCAAs, I got back to the hotel. Everybody's like, yo, there's like tons of parties. There's like girls and stuff. Let's go hang out. But like, for me, it was like, man, I just went to my hotel and I kind of like lay down and just like was really emotional. Like, I thought about like reflecting on like all the hard work and like that. Not only me, like, people think it's all me, which I now at this level. I push myself every day to deep waters. I mean, that's what's going to separate anybody at any program. It doesn't matter what program I was at the end of the day. You're going to have to put yourself to deep waters. And thankfully, I had my dad, and Chris Perry's the one who pushes me. But you got to do it yourself, man. You can't hold back. And so
we got to interrupt real quick. We were when I saw you at Olympic Trials, and I was like, yo, I was like, you got it done, man. You know, like, congrats, like, you know, NCAA champ, whatever. And you were like, yeah, like, I'm too athletic for these guys, you know, like I'm too explosive. And I was like, dude, you just wanted to win more. Like, just like how you won those matches, like, you just, like, up here, you just wanted it more. That's how it appeared to me. That's just toughness and grit, pretty much. And at the end of the day, that's just it coming down to you pushing yourself to deep water. So that's really it.
100%. Yep.
So,
but going back to what you were saying though, about like the, how do I balance it? Like the ups and downs. I think for me, it's just, you know, staying reflective on like who I am, you know, like at the end of the day, you know, I'm the same person. It doesn't matter like where I am now. Like I'm still that kid that just loves my parents, loves hanging out with my friends. That's just outgoing. That just likes, you know, having fun and doesn't really care what people think, you know. That's just my personality. And for me, it was always like, man, I feel like wrestlers, like before I got to wrestling, like my people reached out to me for football, for all this different stuff, just because like I had a good frame for football. I'm 6 foot, I have a 6'6" wingspan, so like that's good for middle linebackers who I used to play for football. And but it was like, man, I love wrestling and I feel like I can be, like I knew I'd be good at football, but like I was like, man, I feel like God destined me to be one of, if not the greatest, I feel like, wrestlers ever. Like I could have a big impact on a lot of people. And I could bring people towards the sport, like people who, you know, want to, you know, not only just for accomplishing things, but who are like character development. Like, if you look for kids, wrestling is like such a great sport. Like, it teaches them, you know, self-discipline, you know, living the right lifestyle. You know, even kids, like if they're sneaking candy, it's going to catch up to them, whether they're cutting weight. And like, I just fell in love with it with my dad. And now it's just like, man, I work so hard and we all work so hard. Like, wrestling is such a hard sport, man. Like, not lying, I've done it all different sports and I've seen it. Like, wrestling is one of, if not the hardest sports. The only sport that really honestly could compare is UFC. And I just think that we get so much, like, we don't get enough attention, you know? And, like, I personally love attention, so I love, like, flexing, hyping up the crowd. I love having fun. That's, and same thing at parties. Like, whenever I'm at a party, like, I'm going to be known I was there. My shirt probably
popped off. Yeah, absolutely. Shirt
popped off, yeah. So, literally. But yeah, I think it's just, a lot of people have told me this and I knew this. I think I'm just great for the sport, man. And it's going to really grow wrestling. Cause like we've had a lot of these other people who are like in other sports who have really changed the sport in like good ways. And I think like, for instance, Kale Sanderson changed the sport, I think, in a big way. People like John Smith, you know, winning 6 in a row, but I think I'm going to change it in the social media aspect. Like I have over 50,000 followers and like all I post is wrestling. Like if you guys look at my profile, like wrestling, like I'm just trying to grow the sport. Because I know how great of a sport is and know how tough it is. But I think it's really, I really think it's the best sport, you know, for all aspects.
I like that too. And wrestling is really, you know, we talk about media with wrestling all the time. That's like one of our big things that we cover. And like you especially, yours is blowing up. And, you know, we have a lot of other guys that are kind of blowing up right now too. So
it's
getting there. It really is.
It is. That's why in this conversation over the weekend with Jordan Burroughs, like I put out, and you might be biased to John Smith, but it's like, I'm like, I think Jordan's the greatest ever because maybe he doesn't have the absolute highest number of medals, but nobody's built a brand like he has. He's been the face of USA Wrestling for a decade, has 650,000 followers. Like that's a massive platform that nobody's built before. And that's a lot of attention. I had other Olympic gold medalists text me that I work with and I'm friends with that were like, hey, I'm so bummed for Jordan. Like, you're talking people in other sports that don't tune in to every wrestling event, but because of what a platform Jordan has built and the attention he's given to wrestling, it's nuts. And now it's going to be interesting to see if somebody like yourself, if somebody like Gable comes by and now who starts the platform even younger and then surpasses them, because the potential's there. You know, Jordan kind of paved the way, but now the door is open where you got Gable, Roman, Spencer. These guys have over 100,000 followers, still in college, under the peak of relevance where nothing puts you over like college wrestling. Nothing.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I think that's true. You know, I always looked up to Jordan Burroughs, you know, as a kid. I kind of changed a little bit whenever he started tweeting certain things.
I saw you guys go back and forth. Yeah. And Gable,
you go back and forth. But the one thing that, I know Jordan, this is the one that annoys me a lot, which is the reason that I really root for Kyle Dake now. And I know Kyle Dake too. It's just like, I understand his views and everything, but like, I'm not going to post, like, you don't see me posting my political views all the time, like on social media. Like, I mean, I can, but like, I don't know. Whenever he posted that tweet, I feel like I was obligated in with at my time, my small accomplishment of him being number one in the world, me being number one in the country with my small following, I felt like I had something to say. And I was surprised it got picked up. It got over 350 retweets. So But like for me, it's like I don't. And another thing too, like this whole like I don't understand like the whole Black Wrestling Association thing. Like I never really got it. Like I would understand if it was like a country. Like you know, like for me, it's like Italian. Like I don't understand why it's a full continent. Like why it's like racial. You know what I mean? Like why not just be proud of where you're from? Like for me, like it like being Italian has nothing to do with being my skin color. It has everything to do with who I am. You know what I mean? And like so, I didn't really get that too. Like he's always posting. Like he's like. When after like they had the whole picture with like the five like Black wrestling wrestlers or whatever, I'm like, yo, like those dudes literally like have, I'm sure they have white, like half of them are like half white too. They have white parents too. Like, why are you just taking one side of them? And like, it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're a good wrestler, you're a good wrestler. If you're a great wrestler, you're a great wrestler. And that's because you're a character. That's not because of the color of your skin. You know what I mean? And like, that's the way I see things. That's the way I saw it. And like, I feel like just this whole thing about that is just like pushing things aside. Cause I've been seeing a lot, like he posts a lot of that stuff. And I see that and I'm like, man, like, why is he trying to make this all about race? Like, let's stop focus on race. Let's focus on like, if you want to focus on like, for instance, Francis Ngannou, you know, Francis Ngannou and Kamaru Usman, like they're from like the same country and tribe from the same area. Like those guys are from very, very close areas. Same thing with Dagestan, Russia. Like, I understand if you're from a country and you're like, man, dude, we literally sweat like they're from the same DNA, like the same area. But like, literally, like you don't see like people doing like the whole continent. Like, I just don't understand it. Why has anything to do with your skin color? Like being black or being white, I think it should have to do with like your culture and like exactly where you're from, like what area. That's just my view. That's the way I see it. And like, I see that as not taking people, like I've seen a lot of people see that and they're like, man, this is just dividing like people in wrestling versus me. It's just like, I'm like all hype for anything. As in like, I mean, you guys saw me friggin' throw the first pitch at the baseball game.
Yeah, that was
sick. And flex on the OU crowd. Like, and like this literally, none of this has anything to do with like, any of that, you know what I mean? I just like building things up. I whenever I see people see that, and like, I mean, you guys can see on Twitter, there's like a lot of support and there's a lot of hate too, you know. So it's both, and like you got to get used to it, you know. As me and Vincenzo and you know, big wrestlers, we're gonna have lots of haters, lots of people that love us. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm gonna be who I am, no matter what people think. You know, that's my personal view, and that's, you know, stand for something or you fall for anything. That's the way I see things. But that's my view on the political spectrum of everything. And people know I have my views, you know. I'm obviously, I went to OSU for a reason, you know. I'm pro America, pro gun, you know. Italian American, Italian at, people always say like, oh, you're Italian. I'm Italian in my DNA, but I'm American at heart. I'm American at the heart. Like, I would never kneel, I would never do any of that. So I know the sacrifices that our country has made to get us to where we are. At the end of the day, if America and Italy were to go into a war, I would definitely support America because America is the best country in the world. But my culture is where I get the Italian from. And I understand people say like their culture of like being African-American, but like, I feel like they're not talking about that. They're talking more about like just their skin color, which skin color has nothing to do with who you are. I feel like greatness, even, and Jordan Burroughs is, dude, one of, if not the greatest wrestlers of all time. But that has nothing to do with his skin color. It's everything to do with who he is as a person. The same thing with me. It has everything to do with who the sacrifice that we've made. But that's just the way I see everything. And love me or hate me, you know, I'm not going to change who I am. You know, I'm going to have the same views from based on what I believe, what my parents believe, and what, you know, I feel like God tells me in the Bible.
So I will say, I mean, and I'm not going to, you know, disagree, or I will say, though, that I think having five Black NCAA champs was cool and good for the sport, because wrestling has been a predominantly white sport, you know, pretty much throughout history of time. Yeah. And like, you know, there's little kids out there that are watching that. Like, you know, there's going to be some small Black kid watching.
That's what I love.
Like, hey, like this could be me one day. You know, like there's people that look like them that are, you know, winning and in those positions. And I think that that's cool for them.
Yeah, and yeah. I liked what Jordan said about, because, you know, I didn't grow up as a Black athlete. So when Jordan says, hey, for me, it's important that, you know, my kid sees someone who looks like them. Like, I like that. You know,
I like that too.
I think everybody has a perspective. I think it's good right now. We're in a culture where a lot of people are listening to each other. And I think that's a healthy thing. But I also think everybody should understand where everybody else is coming from, regardless of what side you're on. You know what I mean?
We have a lot of people right now
who it's like, it's my way or the highway. I'm a big proponent of loving and respecting those you disagree with and not letting anything divide. And I know for me, especially over this last year, it's trying to listen. It's trying to understand more. Like when somebody, I love Jordan. He's been at my wedding. I was at his wedding. And, you know, so when he speaks, especially, I listen, you know, because I know him, I know his heart. So I think it's interesting to get a different perspective. To, I loved the point of it's important for Black kids to see Black champions winning, because I would have never like thought about that, because growing up, I almost took that for granted that somebody looked like, you know,
100%, yeah. Right. You guys say that, but you realize that 14% of all Americans were African American, and 40% of the U.S. population is African American. So if you think about it, the representation is actually pretty equal. I mean, if you look at the stats, but I understand what you're saying, because you're saying most sports, there's generally more of them. But like, I just don't get why it's so revolved around I saw them post and they put a hashtag Black Excellence as their hashtag. And I was like, why didn't they put like hashtag African Excellence? Like, have it to do with your country, your area, nothing to do with your skin color. Like, I don't know why race has to do anything with to do with it. That was just the way I saw it. Like, I understand like the way that people see things, like almost like how I idolize John Smith, you know, and Italian American, you know, as someone like your own. But at the same time, like, I know a lot of the technique that Jordan Burroughs picked up was probably not all from Kenny Monday or other African-American wrestlers. Like, I've picked up a lot of technique from Jordan Burroughs. You know, I looked up to him a lot as a person too, like who he was. And that had nothing to do with his race, everything to do with his character, you know. But I understand both sides of the story. I get it. And I'm going to put my view out there, but I'm going to also, you know, like, I always tell people, I understand where you're coming from, as long as it's not some crazy. There's some crazy thought. There's some crazy people out there, like the world is flat or something nuts. You
know? My buddy's a flat earther, and he gets in arguments with me all the time. And I tell him, I'm like, there's no place for extremism in America, and you flat earthers. By the way, if there's any flat earthers listening, definitely reach out.
And AJ, tell us why. Like, AJ, it's just yourself.
Yeah. I have a question.
Well, I'm saying the earth is flat. I'm saying that if you believe it's a sphere, you're crazy.
Oh, you think it's flat?
I'm just joking. I'm messing with you. I'm just messing.
Oh, this was went into a whole other conversation. So I got a question for you. You tweeted out a couple days ago that you thought it was 4-0 at the trials against Ben.
Yeah, that pissed me off a little bit. But I mean, it is what it is. I'll be fine. For me, honestly, going to that Olympic trials tournament, my motto was I knew I could cut down to make 189, 86 kilos and have a good chance of resting good. But I had been cutting weight all year long. And like, I had just done like a really big thing. You know, everybody was doubting me. I'd proved everybody wrong. You know, I went in as a true freshman. So it was like, man, let me try to get big. And like, I mean, I don't know if you guys know, like even Vincenzo, even with our great Italian genetics, it's hard. Hey. It's scientifically almost impossible to gain 15 pounds of muscle mass in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
I stepped off the scale at NCAA and I weighed 199 the last day. I got to make 213.9. That's the weight class. And these dudes are cutting down from like 230, which for me, if I was in the offseason, would be perfect because I walk around that. But I had made weight like 15 times this year. So my body was just so shrunk. Like I immediately hit the weight room. But like, you got to think, I was already beat up from wrestling. So it was just like, let's just go out there and have some fun. And plus, it was in Texas, you know. So I wanted to get back to the fans. I went back there and had some fun. And I lost two close matches. When was the last time you heard AJ Ferrari 0-2? And literally, as soon as I got off the mat, hundreds of kids were coming up to me asking me for autographs in Texas, just because it's an area.
And like,
and they're all doing like they're all saying, "Oh, we got to do the the Ferrari flex." Like they're all like,
"Is that what it's called now?"
Yeah, like it's changing the sport. Like I literally like at my school, Oklahoma State, right here, at our softball game a couple weeks ago, we had a softball game, like a big game, against like a highly ranked team, and literally. These two girls hit home runs. One of them hit a home run and her dad ripped her shirt off. And this dude flexed and said, "Yeah, baby, Ferrari flex," and yelled in the whole crowd. like literally it's having the, like literally it's affecting like the whole OSU team, like everybody in the OSU athletics, like it's crazy the impact I've had. And like, people think like it's all for hype and stuff, but like, bro, like whenever you put in this much work, like whenever I'm out there, like showing off my craft, I'm gonna, you know, have something like.
It looks like it's just you being you, man.
And I'm just having fun with it, bro. Like I always tell people, like before I wrestled the NCAA finals, I was in the back next to Chris Perry and John Smith. And I was like, "There's nowhere I'd rather be in the whole world, anywhere than right here. Like, let's go out there, let's have fun, let's enjoy these exchanges." And I tell people, like, wrestling is a fun sport if you make it fun. I mean, if you look at it as, man, there's supposedly 5 million people online that'll be watching me right now. If I lose this after me calling out Ben Askren, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? But I always look at it as positive. I look at it as, man, I put in so much work. I have all these people backing me. I made the sacrifices. I know I put the work in, you know, God's going to reward me for that. And let's go out there and have fun and let's scrap. I mean, that's just my motto that I think of work out.
Yeah, man. And I dig it too. And back to like what you're saying with the autographs and stuff, man. I wrestled one match of the trials, medical forfeit out after that. I lost my first match. Close one. And you know, there's kid, I'm in zero mood to sign autographs, trust me. So I'm walking past and there's kids, you know, like throwing stuff at me. So like I feel like it's just what you got.
That's
got to
be,
man.
Such a cool moment.
It's for the greater good of the sport. It's not a super cool moment at the time. Not at all.
But, especially after losing.
But yeah. You think back on it and like, you know, I'm happy that that's something I decided to do rather than storm off and be mad, because I could have made some kid's day for sure, even though he had like David Taylor autographs on there. So maybe not a ton. But
maybe they were autograph hawks. Maybe they're just getting, like, I hear a lot about these hawks.
Some of those kids are rowdy, though, man. Some of those kids are crazy. I was at Big 12s, and this kid said that I told him I'd give him a Hager NCAAs. That kid found me. He went to the whole arena and found me. I don't know how he got on the floor.
Hey, good for him. That's impressive.
This kid came up to me, and he was like, yo, you're AJ Ferrari, right? And I was like, yeah. He was like, you promised me your Hager. And I was like, what? I didn't promise you my Hager. He was like, yeah, you did. I was like, what's your name? He was like, yeah, my name's Dylan. I was like, oh, I remember you from somewhere. I'll sign it. And he was like, yeah, can I have it? Can I keep it? And he was like, yeah, sure. I said, because after my finals match, I was like, where did you come from? He was like, yeah, I snuck down here. And I was like, okay. Because, I mean, with COVID, nobody's allowed to be on the floor. Like, it's like super strict.
Yeah.
So I signed it and then I gave it to him. And I was like, yeah, get out of here before you get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble, you know? But yeah, there's kids, those little kids, man, there's a lot of kids that love wrestling. I think it's really fun. It's good. And I'm excited for the next wave of wrestlers to have an impact, you know, next up and comers in high school. And, you know, I think that wrestling is great because you get to show off who you are personally and you have a big platform to, you know, whatever, like, for instance, Nick Bazakis. I don't know if you guys know that his younger brother died of a disease of cancer. I don't know if you guys have heard about him, but his whole thing is called Roman Greco. Like, that's his name, Greco-Roman. So he wears a shirt, and I think it's like a great platform for him to give to his brother, you know, his brother, you know, being, you know, up above us, you know. I think it's great for people to realize that he shows like his sacrifice he has made for his brother, you know, that he loves him. And I'm just so grateful that he has continued to persevere through everything, because I can only imagine what it's like losing a sibling like that, you know, and he's such a great guy.
Yeah, I can't fathom that. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, you mentioned kids looking up to you. How much pressure do you put on yourself moving forward? Like, you're only a freshman right now. You still have 3 years left of college wrestling.
4 years, bro.
4 years. That's right. This year doesn't count. So
I'm
going to
be the first five-timer, man.
Five-time champ.
Five-time NCAA champ.
Five-time Big 12, five-time NCAA champ. Like, what pressure-wise on yourself do you just continue the same, or do you put more pressure on yourself now? Like, I got to be more entertaining, more of this.
Every time it's more. Like, the expectations get higher, the pressure rises. And like my coach Smith, like I do interviews and stuff. Coach Smith is like, man, is it never too much? Because Coach Smith never did them. He said he didn't like it. But for me, like, man, it's just my personality. Like, bro, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this. Big 12, whenever I was in the Big 12 finals, my match against Jeffrey Buchanan, who was at the time like top three, top four in the country. If I would have lost that match, we don't win the Big 12 championship.
Yep.
So I ended up winning that match. And I went for the major. I went for the major. I ended up giving a takedown late, and I didn't get it. But I tell people, I'm like, yo, like whenever I'm back in there, before I go out there with some of my OC wrestlers, like, I listen to hardcore, like, rapper, like, whatever it is to get me going. Like, I go into a motto.
Who do you
where,
listen
like,
to?
I listen to Moneybagg Yo a lot. Moneybagg Yo. You guys know him?
I don't know who that is.
I know him. I do, yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty real rapper. I listen to him, and then I'll listen to maybe some Trap. You guys know Trap? They're a group. I listen to like some hardcore heavy metal, but right before, and then whenever I'm in my vibes, I don't know if you guys see me, but you can actually see that. You can listen to the song I'm listening to. Like, you can see it. Like, whenever I'm down the floor and I'm listening to a song, like, if there's like a song where it says dab, like, I'm gonna dab. Like, I'm so loose. Like, people get like hyped. They're like before, for instance, before I wrestled, like, someone like Woodley, he'll be like getting all into it. He'll be like beating his chest. Versus me, it's just like I'll be listening to Pretty Boy Swag, and I'll be just like swagging, moving side to side, like, just loose, just relaxed. Like, I know I got this in the bag, you know, like I don't stop my coach's hands hard. It's just relaxed. It's like, let's do this. Let's have fun. Let's take this dude out. And it was funny because the Iowa State head coach, Dresser, I think is his name, right? Kevin Dresser, I think. Yeah. Right before I walked out of the back room, because he was hanging out there with one of his wrestlers, David Carr. They were like hanging out in the finals. I had my headphones in, I guess. And so I said at the top of my lungs, I basically yelled, I said, it's time to take this MF-er out, right before I left the room. And I guess I yelled, I was like, time to take this dude out. Like, because I had my headphones on and hit my coach's hand. He was like, man, this dude don't play. Like, people think he's just all hype, but man, this dude's coming. Like, whenever I go on the mat, like, I'm like, it's either me or him. You know, only one of us is coming out of that mat successful and with victorious. So I like to think about that. And what I do, people think like how you get mad or angry focused. I picture myself, I think about like right before I go, I like to close my eyes while I'm listening to music. And I think about all the different extra sprints I did, all the times I missed out at parties to go work out, all the times that my dad drove me, we did extra workouts, extra box jumps, extra tire flips, extra bench presses, extra squat. And I'm like, man, don't let this dude steal that. Don't let this dude steal all the sacrifices I've made. You know, I put in too much to not do this. And I go out there and I just friggin' take him out. It's my motto.
And now I saw you calling out Gable. Is that a potential? Yeah. If Gable comes back at heavyweight, because you teased everybody with heavyweight, would you really go up to heavyweight?
I'm definitely going to go up eventually. I'm not staying that I spent my whole career. I mean, I don't know why I would. I mean, I definitely, you think about it this way. The crazy thing is I was hanging out with Bo Nickel after we had like an after party. I don't know if you guys saw before we left the Olympic trials. It was like a throwback with a bunch of famous wrestlers. There, everybody was there. You name it. It was
Luke Gardner was there.
Yeah. Oh, everybody was there.
The legend.
The legend. But anyway, long story short, though, what was that saying? I got sidetracked.
You're talking about Bo.
So we're talking about all these. What were we saying though? I forget. I was talking about
you're going up to heavyweight, dude.
Oh yeah, they're going up to heavyweight. So I was like, no, me and Bo were talking first off. And he was like, yo, if you ever wrestled, you know, I'd ride you out. And I was like, bro, nobody rides me. Like literally, like the number one rider in the country, whatever his name is this year, that dude from West Virginia, he couldn't ride me for more than 20, 30 seconds.
Okay, Penn State guys on top are way different than whoever West Virginia
is. I wrestled a Penn State guy. I don't know how good Michael Beard is on top, but I'm sure he's decent. But I don't get rode. Hey, I'm too strong, bro. I'm like a freaking
We need to get you an RPC card.
I deadlift 665, bro. You think somebody
wait, hold
down?
On. Speaking of that, I got someone who wants to do a flex off with you real quick.
This guy also has some Italian American pride as well.
Yeah.
Really?
So yeah. When Chenzo initially, when we were talking about you coming on, the discussion was us doing a flex off. I'm not in shape.
Yeah, so, I'm not game for that either.
So I figured I'd get someone to take my place. Now, okay. I had to find someone that I thought would beat you. That's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
So we're going to bring him in. We're going to have you guys do a flex off. We're going to be the judges.
I hope that he's ready to get beat. Hey, yo.
Wow. Look. Looking big and strong. Looking big and strong.
Whoa. No, we're about to have way too much Italian up in this episode, bro.
Whoa, way too much.
I feel left out on so many levels right now.
Man.
Bosh, like, why don't you just...
Bro, I don't think this is like healthy. There's too much testosterone on you.
There's a lot in here right now.
Bosh, why don't you just dip out and then we'll figure it out.
We'll let us three take it.
Yeah, I'm just going to go grab some of these dumbbells and just like try to catch up. Anthony, first of all, how are you?
I'm great, bro. Thanks for having me on.
It's the champ, baby.
Let's go.
Hey, he said that nobody would be able to hold him down on bottom. Like not like no one in our room.
Oh, that's not what I said. I said nobody at 197.
Right into it. Nobody at
197.
Okay.
Nobody at 197.
Okay. All right.
I don't care how technical you are. My fair. Mentality on bottom.
That's fair.
Nobody rides me. Nobody rides me. I don't think you've ever gotten road Vincenzo too. Maybe once or twice ever. I mean,
I've been.
That's what bottom's about, bro. It's just like, are you going to get out or not?
That's it.
And
that's him.
And we're just so strong. We're just those big Italian dudes that just don't get ridden. You know.
No.
I always tell people. I'm a Ferrari. I don't get road. I give rides. So
that's facts too. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
my motto.
That should be on a T-shirt.
All right, I got
a lot of T-shirts you can make.
Hey, I got my money on Ant the Champ here.
Yeah, we're gonna be the judges.
I don't think you guys understand like how like this works.
All right, Tony. Let's go.
Don't make me rip this thing off.
Let's go. Pop it off, beast.
We need the full shoulder strength.
I'm dead serious. We need a full flex off.
We need to go to. I'm gonna fly to Penn State in off season. We're gonna run like a small camp just so they can pay for my flight. Then I'm gonna go to a Penn State party, and me and Anthony Cassar are gonna have a dance off and a flex off. Both,
bro. Penn State's not ready for that.
I don't know if it is either.
The other thing,
Oklahoma State, they just embraced me. They love me here.
Yeah, like, I think
like,
it's good that
like literally, bro, I pull up to a party and I were like literally like I was with the baseball guys and they were like, yo, bring your trophy. They were literally like fist pumping with the trophy and stuff.
Dude,
bro,
they
like,
love you, they love you out there. Mm-hmm.
They do.
Bro, I think it's actually at first I was kind of sad that you didn't come here, but I think it's a good idea because I don't know if the state of Pennsylvania can handle that much Italian. Jersey mentality so, in one radius.
And I had it's
crazy because it really is the Jersey mentality, even though I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
I had tweeted out too during NCAAs because I was in Miami for NCAAs and I tweeted out, man, NCAA should come to Miami one year. Oh, Ant the Champ immediately tweets out, they are not ready for Miami Ant the Champ. I don't know if they're ready for a Miami AJ either.
Nah, bro. Miami mixes well with Jersey. So
if they come out and say, NCAAs are in Miami next year. Dude, you got another year, bro.
Dude, I got another 2 years. I'm coming back to Miami.
You got another year, bro. We could potentially see this match, too.
AJ up. I don't know about that.
That'd be a bloodbath for sure.
We need to crown a Bashmania flex-off champion. We need one of your best from each of you, and we are going to crown one of you the Bashmania flex-off champion.
Come on, we need one.
Bro, you can go to my Instagram. There's plenty of pictures of me flexing.
Time out. Let me say something quick to get this off my skin because I'm a little mad at someone right here. So I saw one of your interviews, Anthony, the Ant the Champ, which you said that you're talking about lifting. You're like, yeah, he lifts a lot and he's really strong for his age, but he's not as strong as me. I want to hear what your lifts are.
No, I didn't say that.
Hold up. Because I'm literally, I don't know if you know this, I'm one of the strongest dudes in the whole country. Like I could do powerlifting pound for pound.
Like, know, bro. I could tell. I see a lot of myself in you actually.
Yeah.
Conventional,
let me say this one more time. I conventional deadlift 665 at a body weight of 210. I don't think people understand how much weight that is. That's over 3.25 times the body weight.
No, that's solid. That's real
solid.
It's
like almost as much as me. It's crazy.
All I said in the interview was for his age, that's extremely impressive. Because what are you, 19?
I'm only 19, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't really compare my numbers right now to your numbers at 19.
Yeah,
like
true.
When I was coming up like you, like I was the same thing. Like I was like crazy in the weight room, like just loving it, just picking up anything I possibly could. And then I started getting injured and I started like dialing it back a little bit. Cause
exactly. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, it shows. You look like you're a little small right now.
I mean, you won't do a flex off. So you must be feeling
good. I'm not in tip top condition. I mean, I got a little pumping just before this. So,
I didn't do it. I just woke up.
It's Friday. It's Friday, bro. What am I going to do? Wake up and just go run my day?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. But you get to a certain point, like where you get to certain numbers. Like I was around your numbers as well. And like biomechanically, like you can only go so much more, you know, Ferrari. So like my strength coach started dialing down a little bit to where we would like start introducing some variations to the lift where we'd start doing like isometric holds or jacking up the reps. Cause like once you get to that like 600-700 pounds in whatever lifts, it's like how much more can your body go before it starts failing you? So I haven't really reached those numbers in years because I've been more focused on just trying to stay healthy and stay strong, you know?
Well, it's all about genetics too. So like me and your genetics, I mean, you probably have great genetics too. It's all about like people don't understand. Like I've gone to bodybuilding gyms where there's dudes at 300 pounds that can't lift what I lift. And that's just solely because of My I have very big joints and very strong joints and very big hips. That's why I can lift so much. I mean, I've trap barred over 800 pounds before. So I know like the pressure. Another thing too that's good for what people don't understand for deadlifts, like everybody's like, oh, you're gonna mess up your lower back. I don't know if people know this, but I have a very, very short torso and extremely long arms to my height. Mm-hmm. So that helps, that that puts less strain on your lower back. So for me, deadlift is a perfect exercise for me to go real heavy on. But just like you said, though, for wrestling, it's really not very wrestling related for you to do a 665-pound deadlift one time. Like for me, whenever I'm in season, like I'll hit, like this year I hit 500 pounds for 12 reps on deadlifts conventional. Like that right there, that's like shooting a bunch of double legs. I call it explosive conditioning because it's explosive and it's a good movement, but it's conditioning too. So, I was saying, bro, though, me and Frank Molinaro are supposed to get a lift off sometime. You should come, all three of us.
Oh, Frank's the boy, too.
Dude, he's a beast. Dude, that dude is a tank.
Yeah, he is.
He's a tank. He's another one that's like on that same level, like pound for pound.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. You know who's someone who I might be the strongest, though, pound for pound, that I was talking to, I think, at everybody, is Soriano. That dude is insane.
Oh, yeah, dude. 100%.
For his body weight. Like I know I've never met someone stronger than me, but he is the only dude I think that can do it.
Dude, we had him here for a year. Watching him in the weight room and just even like wrestling with him, you're like, holy shit, he's strong. Yeah.
You go up and down that Jersey lineup and there's a lot of dogs there that can pick up big things.
Yeah, for sure. All the Jersey boys.
You gotta start repping Jersey for, I know you were in freaking an Allen, Texas boy, but you were in Jersey for what, a year?
Yeah, I rep Jersey all the time. Bergen Catholic.
Yeah. So
Robbie Howard.
Where'd you go to school at?
I went to, it's called Montgomery's, like non-wrestling school. Like it wasn't like one of those big times, but definitely still Jersey.
Yeah.
Yep. Jersey, baby.
Yep. Jersey. I feel like Jersey is more of like a mindset too. Like it's just like
it is a mindset.
I was talking about this with somebody yesterday.
It's like that Conor McGregor swag, you know. We got that swag to us.
It's true.
Yeah, man.
Something and different.
Every time I'm in Jersey, they just accept me as their own too. So,
my brother's opening. Like, every time we meet up with Chenzo, they're like, dude, you gotta have this guy come by more. Like, he's so good. Like, I'm like, I know, bro. He fits that Jersey style too.
That's why Shane Sparks calls him Captain Cool.
Captain Smooth, man.
Captain Smooth.
Captain Smooth. Yeah, so, AJ, what would you think if a dude came up to you, started doing a post-match interview, called you Captain Smooth during the interview, just out of nowhere?
I don't know. I would probably start laughing.
Yeah, it's I think I honestly preferred Meatball.
Has somebody called you Meatball?
Best. Yeah, AJ. First time I met AJ, he called me Meatball.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up.
About that. Oh man, that was hilarious.
I was like, hey, I'll take it.
That was back when I was in high school, my first visit at Penn State. I called him Meatball, and he was like, "Yo, I'm gonna kick your butt." And I was like, back in high school. Now I'm a little bigger, so he doesn't really say it, but it's a joke.
I thought it was hilarious to be straight up. I was a little upset, but I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Yeah. So.
No, because like it's great because you're not a meathead, you're a meatball because you're Italian. Meatball.
Hey, we love meatballs around here too.
Dude, yeah, I smacked like six on Easter. They were so good. Not as meatballs.
Yeah. See, the one thing that I don't want to hurt you guys' feelings about is the fact that I know that my mom and my grandparents make the best Italian food out of all of the United States. Like, I don't want to have to teach you guys up.
Bro, you're throwing out a lot of that.
I know. There's been some takes.
My uncle owns a pizzeria, Fars Pizzeria, and he does over $500,000 in sales a year.
That place looks fire.
Yeah. Do you guys freeze them, send some up to State College?
We could, for sure.
Tony, we can do a little taste test.
I just don't want to throw the pizza up there and you guys try it and be like wanting that pizza so bad because then you're gonna have to come back down, you know.
Oh yeah, I never have pizza up here, bro. It's disrespectful up here.
I can understand.
Yo, I heard that it is. Yo, Ant, I heard that you didn't want to wrestle in Olympic trials because you were afraid of Gable, by the way.
full of hot takes today.
No, I told you, bro.
Explain to me where that fear came from and how it happened. Like, did you see him in a hallway? Did he flex on you? Like, yeah. What happened?
Well, like after the first two matches, you know, I was just like, I don't know if I could beat this dude. So that's kind of where it happened. You know, I let my shoulders break in half.
Yeah, man.
I know that.
I've heard that's a good tactic.
How you doing with that? You're gonna do it on May, right? You just do it on May now.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Like right now, I'm just focused on getting this thing like solid because I don't want to have problems with it ever again. But yeah, MMA's my career path for sure. It's just like when that transition is gonna be. You know,
You know how tall you are in your wingspan?
I'm 6'3". My wingspan, I don't know. I know it's probably like pretty similar to my height, but you have like your wingspan's probably taller than your height, right?
I've had mine measured. Mine exactly is 5'11" and 3/4" is my height, and my wingspan, you ready for this? 6'6.5".
Damn,
that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Okay, that's prime time. That's prime time deadlift genetics right there.
So AJ, I actually had a technical question for you.
And yeah,
answer this as honestly as you would like to. Your underhook defense, where you come inside and you clamp over top and you go in the crotch region.
Hey, F you, man.
Hey, so
nothing is safe this episode, bro.
So
are we what's the
tactic there,
bro? I did not even touch it, bro. I glanced it, bro. You guys pissed me off, man.
He's warming you up for the flex off.
Yeah, I am. I'm getting you ready to go.
That Cuban pissed me off, man. He tweeted it. And he said, "Why are you grabbing my thing?" He tweeted it. I was like, "Bro, you can see in the video. I barely even like. I was thigh prying. It was not intentional at all."
Dude, I'm giving you a chance to defend yourself. That's all.
And wrestlers already get enough crap about being gay, whatever. So that's the last thing that I need. You know what I mean? Is for people to say some dumb comment like that. That pissed me off, man. I was like, I was about to tweet at him. I was like, gonna say go back to Cuba, but I didn't want to get like any crazy backlash. So
yeah, it's probably.
I already say enough crazy comments. So my coaches have been trying to dial it down a little bit on social media because like if anybody says anything at me, like I am livid. Like Ben Askren, he was saying a bunch of stuff about me not winning NCAAs and saying OSU would even place in top 5. And I was like, Ben Askren, bro, with the small amount of brain cells you have left, I would slow down because you're about to have zero brain cells in a couple of weeks once you get knocked out by Jake Paul. So,
dude, I hope he freaking wins that fight, man.
No, he's not going to win that fight. Jake Paul's going to knock him out. Watch. I mean, I hope he knocks him out, to be honest, because Ben Askren is just – everybody hates Jake Paul. But Jake Paul is having fun with it. He's and like Jake Paul is just hilarious. Like he is absolutely hilarious. Like Ben Askren just pisses me off. Like I see Ben Askren on Flow Wrestling and I see him like talking and saying stuff and like I just see him on there. I'm like, bro, like just stop. And like I was having a conversation with my coach the other day, Chris Perry. I said that I think you, Vincenzo Joseph, would beat Ben Askren in your prime. Like whenever you beat Imar, I think you would beat him. I think you're too athletic for him. Like
yeah,
he has barely any athleticism, and the only reason he was winning and dominating was because his scrambling was light years ahead of everybody else, like light years.
Yeah,
and I mean, not that he I respected him for what he did for the sport, but I just feel like nowadays everybody is so good at scrambling and everybody is so athletic. Like if you're not like I don't know if you guys know this, his freshman year he couldn't even climb the rope at his college. Like you know yeah, they have a rope.
I did hear that before. I mean yeah.
So I don't know though, but.
All he was great though, so that, I appreciate it.
I know all I know is that if Jake Paul doesn't knock him out, I'll probably be setting up an exhibition between me and him. So if he keeps talking smack,
let's get it.
You got hands, AJ? You got hands?
Oh yeah, like pretty insane. Oh,
yeah. Well, how did you think that question was going to answer?
Can you shadow box a little bit? I want to see this hand.
I don't want to teach you guys my secrets or anything, but like I just got that. Another thing too for me. It's so easy because my reach is so long.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it is stupid, bro. Whenever I fight people my height, like, I've never met somebody in my whole life who has a long reach to me for my height. My dad is 6'1".
You probably won't either.
Listen to this. My dad's 6'1". He has a 6'10 wingspan. 6'10".
Jeez.
You know how insane that is? Like, so, listen to this. Talk about genetics. Talk about, you know, like, the ape index. The longest wingspan compared to height ever was Sonny Liston, the boxer. Remember Sonny Liston? He had the huge arms. Mm-hmm. Sonny Liston, ever. His wingspan was 6'11". He was 6'5". My dad is 6'1 and has a 6'10 wingspan. He's an inch and a half away from tying the world record. Close.
Damn.
Like, literally, like, my family is just a bunch of knuckle draggers that friggin' take you out.
Bunch of knuckle draggers.
Yeah.
But, bunch of knuckle draggers.
I tell people this all the time about MMA and working out. Like, people always ask me, what's the best workout plan? What's the best body type for wrestling? But I'm like, I explain to them, like, you couldn't have any body type for wrestling, MMA, or lifting. You just have to lift and you have to work out to that body type. Like, for me, it's more about using my range. Someone like Vincenzo, who may be a little more stocky and tight, he's got to come in close if he's fighting and get those, almost like Mike Tyson.
So, yeah,
you just have to gear it towards your, you have to gear your fighting style towards how you are. That's what
focus on your strengths and capitalize on those. That's like, that's what it's about, is using
that. That's what I didn't understand with Francis and Stipe. I didn't understand Stipe's mindset of backing up the whole time. Like, this dude, you're just waiting for him to catch you. Like, get in there and try to wrestle or come close. You're going to have to come eventually. So
that's one dude that I really want to fight. I really hope he's still fighting when I get there, because I hate when people like yeah, he's good, he's tough, he's scary, whatever. He's
got
power.
But nobody's unbeatable too. People say he's unbeatable. Nobody is ever unbeatable. Yeah. Look at history of all sports.
Oh yeah.
And he's got some major holes like in his game. Like
when
people overhype someone like that, like the UFC loves to overhype great strikers. It's
100%.
It's like
that's
a thing.
All they do. That's all.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor. That's all they do.
They love it. Adesanya.
Is he?
Yeah, man. Yeah, and time and time again, like, they put him against a good wrestler, like an elite wrestler, and they get dominated. So it's like, how many times is that going to take before we start learning that, you know, you go in with Francis, you survive that first round, take him down, hold him down for 20 minutes, and bash his face in with some elbows. Like, that's I think Johnny Bones is going to do that, because it's just like his. He's just 100%. so much more well-rounded.
100%.
I'm excited for that dude to come
back. And going back to what you're saying, John, let's be honest. John Jones ain't even near as good a wrestler as me and you. Like, we both know
exactly.
Like, someone like me and you, if we have even near the skills that they have, as in, like, stand-up, if we can just defend ourselves and not get knocked out.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no way that dude's stopping, even me. If I met Francis on the street and he couldn't punch me, I would definitely take that dude down in a second.
Yeah.
His wrestling IQ and body awareness isn't there like us. And that's why wrestlers, some of the greatest, if not, I mean, you guys look at Khabib, he's never freaking lost. Why?
Yeah.
Because literally, he grew up in wrestling, and that same mentality, and that same body awareness. That's the thing that's so good with wrestling, is like, literally, I tell people this all the time for football, all sports. The body awareness of wrestling, you have to always, it takes so much balance, coordination, hand-eye coordination. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just great for all.
You can't learn that in a couple of years.
No, like, you can't.
I'm actually mad awareness, body awareness, stuff like that. I'm trying to work with some of our younger guys on that, because they're just all gas pedal, all go.
Yeah.
No body awareness, no finesse. So that's something that we're working on a little bit right now.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mm.
All right, guys, before we get off this, are we going to get the
phone? Oh, boss, I forgot you loved
it. it's been a while.
Yeah, listen, you guys are just, I can't talk at that high level athlete level. So I just take it and listen like everybody else listening for the most part.
it's fun to enjoy the conversation. Again, this is a really good conversation, man.
Yeah.
Only if we get the flex really off.
We need one flex.
We need one flex from each of
you. We need one flex, guys.
That's all AJ, bro.
Tony Baloney, you know what you signed up for, bro.
Hey, there's different levels of jerseyness, okay? I'm the more reserved, you know, I'm a cool cat.
Are you? No way.
Sometimes I let it out. But
are you the one who was just had a bachelor rose in your mouth on the steps on Valentine's Day?
More, that's the reserved
that
guy
was,
right
that
there.
That was for a purpose. That was for a purpose. But AJ's the more in your face type jersey, so he can give the flex off. Yo, but did you guys get into what you were just at, that event you were just at, where you were flexing off in front of everybody?
Oh yeah, you saw that. Remember that?
Yeah. What was that?
Yeah. What was that exactly?
Between me, Gable, and Gabe Carr.
No.
Yesterday
on campus.
Like, oh on campus. Yeah, this lady was going crazy. She was like. She's like super, 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 super like right wing. Like, bro, like, people think that I'm like really right wing in my views. Mm. Like, I'm actually like somewhat in the middle. Like, I have both sides. I see both sides. This girl is like calling all girls whores, and like this lady, she's like saying like all you OSU girls are sluts and stuff. And so I just go in the middle in front of like 500,000 people and just rip my shirt off. and say OSU wrestling. I said OSU wrestling gang, baby. This is my house. I said who's national? I said who's national champ? I am only national champ on campus. I ripped my shirt off and start doing push-ups. I did a triple clap push-up. Clap, clap, clap. Did you hear that?
Yo, you are too much, bro. That is freaking hilarious.
That's so funny, yeah. Dude.
No, it was hilarious.
That's
she
amazing.
Got she got pissed.
I mean, naturally.
She looked quite terrified.
Yeah, she did.
She looked up.
She looked shook, too.
That's amazing.
And then I did the good old Anthony Cassar kiss. The.
Oh, yeah. Right here, baby.
There it is. All right, I'll give you a 6 out of 10 on that one.
That's the best you get.
We'll give you a 6 out of 10.
I mean, the biggest thing with me, bro, is like I'm just so shredded. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? Let me take my hat off quick. But I don't know if you.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
You see, look at my chest. Look at that.
Yeah, dude, bro, you can see everything.
Anthony looks a little intimidated.
I think he is. I think he's afraid.
He's sitting back now.
Yeah, he leaned further back.
Guys, listen. I got an itch in the back of my head. Oops, didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, there's no shot. I'll take my shirt off so you guys can screenshot that and bring it. No shot.
For those listening, this is available on YouTube and Rockfin in video form.
I highly recommend the video.
This is one you have to watch the video.
If you don't have the video, there's no point.
The title has to be Battle of the Italians.
Oh my god!
Oh man, I love
you gotta,
it.
You got to wrap this up before we start getting in trouble.
Bro. I know we're gonna.
That's
we're
a wrap.
Just, I'm gonna start saying some things on air. It's gonna go bad.
All right, guys. Thank you
good
for
luck.
Joining.
AJ, you the man.
Hey, good luck, Vincenzo, with everything. Good luck, Anthony. Heal up,
hey,
brother.
You too, man.
Yep, keep killing it, brother. Hey.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.
All right, boys. Cheers.
See you guys. And that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. If you did enjoy this episode of the podcast, be sure to leave a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on more episodes. For more wrestling content, be sure to follow Bash Mania on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And follow me. I'm at JBash on Instagram and at JustinJBash on Twitter.
And the beat goes on.